because we're always better together. Amen? And if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to get there eventually. And I just have a little story I want to read to you. This guy went into the barber shop, and as he went into the barber shop, he was talking to the barber, and they talked about politics, and they talked about all kinds of different things. And they started talking about the things of God, and the barber said, "Well, I don't believe God exists." And Bill, he didn't say much. You know, they talked about everything else, and when the barber said, "I don't believe God exists," and so Mike didn't want to get in an argument. He didn't want to make a scene there in the barbershop. So he waited, and he left. And he was driving down the road, and he sees this man. Before he left the barbershop, he said, because if God existed, then, you know, all the evil that's in the world, all the bad things that are going on in the world, that wouldn't exist, because I can't believe that a God that is love that would allow these things. So I can't believe that he exists. And so Mike left. And he sees this older guy there walking down the street, long hair, real scraggly beard. So he turned around, he went back to the barber shop. And he said to the barber, he says, "You know, I don't think barbers exist." The barber said, how can you say that? He said, surprised. He said, "Well, I'm here and I'm a barber and I just worked on you." He said, "Barbers don't exist, because if they did, there would be no people with dirty long hair and untrimmed beards walking around like the man outside." He said, but barbers do exist. He said, "That's what happens when people do not come to me." Bill affirmed. He said, "That's the point. God does too." He said, "But the problem is when people don't come to him." And I just thought it was a great analogy. That just because something is not the way that we think it should be, or going the way that we think it should be, they always want to argue from that perspective. So just take, you know, look around. They'd have to have hair to bring them to the barber with you. So there's one thing that you'd have to work on. Some friends we couldn't bring. But others with long hair, bring them to the barber and have your conversation with him. Amen? And then another one, just for... because I wanted to. In a teacher's first grade class, a young teacher was starting to explain the theory of evolution to her students. She directed her first questions to Tommy in the front row. "Tommy, do you see the trees outside?" "Yes," Tommy said. "Tommy, do you see the grass outside?" "Yes," Tommy said. The teacher said, "Go outside and look up and see if you see the sky." "Okay," he returned a minute later. "Yes, I saw the sky. Did you see God?" "No." Teacher said, "That's my point. We can't see God because he isn't there and he doesn't exist." But a little girl, Sarah, spoke up and wanted to ask Tommy some questions too. The teacher agreed. Sarah said, "Tommy, do you see the tree outside?"
"Yes."
"Tommy, do you see the grass outside?"
"Yes."
Tired of the questions by this time, he said, "Did you see the sky?"
"Yes."
"Tommy, do you see the teacher?"
"Yes."
"Tommy, do you see her brain?"
"No."
"Then according to what we've been taught in school today, she must not have one." Sometimes it's very easy to use the same argument in both directions. But today we just want to talk about in the name of the place, the pardon, and the power. And I believe that we're in the right place. Amen? And I believe that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we all have our pardon, and therefore we can walk in the power. And I really believe that's what God is looking for. So many people, they understand the place, but that's where they stop. So many people go to church and they get to a place, but that's as far as they get. And they don't go a whole lot farther. And this morning, you know, the mornings are always better when you talk to God first. Can we all agree on that one? I really want to encourage you, don't talk to your spouse first or your children first. Talk to him. And how about we start to pray, not because we need something, but because we have so much to be thankful for. Can I ask you a question this morning? You know, as we think about all that God has done, when you look around, when you wake up in the morning, and when you pray with your spouse, or when you pray for yourself, or when you're in your room by yourself, whatever you do, do you notice the bad more on a daily basis, or do you notice the good? When you open your eyes in the morning, do you expect the bad more than you expect the good? When you arise and you get out of your room, you walk out of your room and you look outside, do you expect to see something bad? Listen, my prayer is that nobody in this room, first thing you do when you get out of bed after you pray is turn on the news, because you won't see nothing good, all right? Don't go there in the morning. Turn to the Word of God. Get lost in what His Word said, because faith is going to come up and rise up in our hearts. You know, when you watch the news, are you drawn to the dark stories, or are you drawn to the inspiring stories? There's a lot of inspiring stories out there. Do you ever click on them? Or have we conditioned our minds to find the worst? When someone makes a mistake, do we show them the way out, or do we just discard them in the midst of their mistake? When you look for people, when you come to church or when you walk on the streets, do you look for the worst in people or do you look for the best? Do you look to find something good or do you look to prove your point that you're right or you're better? This is a way, one of two ways our minds are going to work, amen? Because one of two things that we're gonna do, we're either gonna look, because so many times we look to look at and find somebody else's mistake to justify ourselves because of insecurities. So many times we look for the bad to make ourselves feel better. But I believe that God always looks for the good in each one of us. Amen? Amen. He deposited something. Tell your neighbor, say, God deposited something good in you. See, the issue is not that there's not something good deposited in you. The issue is unearthing what that is. Getting past the thoughts of who they said you are and grabbing a hold of who he says you are. But unearthing who we are according to the Word of God. Because there's been a deposit. If you know Jesus Christ, oh, there's been a grand deposit in you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, oh, there's been a powerful deposit stuffed down inside of you to overtake you, to possess everything that you are, every thought that you have, and every deed that you're to do. Because the deeds that God has called us to do are greater than the deeds that most of the time we live in. Amen. So I want to ask you again, you know, when you look at people, do you look for the worst or do you look for the best? Do you try to find a way to stir them up to faith and good works, the scripture says? And this is where I believe that God wants each one of us to change the way that we think. It's easy to go negative, isn't it? How easy is it when you get a bunch of people together, one person says one wisecrack and everybody has to add theirs? And maybe it's all fun and in jest, but can I tell you, sometimes there's teeth behind the jesting. And the Bible says to be very careful, no coarse jesting. Don't be calling what he created bad. Don't be trying to destroy what he's called good. Don't be ripping apart what he's created, because you had no part in it. You had nothing to do with the design and eternity of every person sitting in here. God's the one that formed us in the dark, in that womb where no man had any say on just how tall you would be or how short you would be or I would be, how we were going to look when we came out. He did it all by himself. Heaven forbid we look at what God has created and say something less than what his word has spoken over each and every one. Amen? So this morning, I just want to encourage you. How do you see things? And I want you to see things according to the word of God. Our desire is that we walk in agreement with the word, because when you walk in agreement, as we sang earlier, you'll have it when you believe it. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, you'll have it when you believe it. Isn't that true with our salvation? When you agreed with the word of God and you believed that you spoke and you repented of your sins, turned from your wicked ways, you had your salvation. Amen? You didn't understand it all. I didn't understand it all, but I still had it. By faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, everything else, all the other promises of God are the same way in the scriptures. Each of us are either controlled, meaning that we make our decisions by one of two things. Me and Pastor Romano talked about this earlier, either by faith or by fear, right? And what causes, what casts out all fear or overcomes all the fear is love, right? Love or faith, both of them are in the same bracket, right? Because of God's love, he set us free. It was all because he loved us that he set us free, and he's allowed us to walk in that faith according to his word. So you're going to make decisions either by faith or by fear. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm all done with the fear. Listen, there's people out there walking around right now losing their minds. Losing their minds because they have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, whether we live or we die, we still live. Amen? Amen. Death, hell, and the grave, we've overcome that through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If I die, I live. I win. It doesn't matter. So we're the ones that are to walk in faith in the midst of this, not foolishness, but faith. We're the ones. This is the time and the season for the church to arise and to say, our God is able. Oh, they've mocked Vice President Pence for praying about wisdom in this situation. Isn't that amazing? Men and women getting together saying, Lord, nobody knows what's going to happen right here, but we're going to pray. We're going to cry out to you. We're going to look to you for wisdom. And then they're mocked. Listen, if they mock you, stand up and say hallelujah. When they make fun of you for crying out to your God, stand up and say, I'm a free man or a free woman. I'm a child of God, and I'm free from your opinion. Because my God has washed me and cleansed me and made me whole. But we're going to make decisions based on one of two things, faith or fear. And my prayer is that for the rest of your life, you'll make decisions based on faith. How many people do you know? Some never left their town or their city their whole life because they were afraid. Some never left America because they were afraid. Some never did a mission trip. Oh, brother, I can't do that. Some didn't go, not because they were afraid, but because they didn't have the faith. They didn't want to. Oh, that's just as sad a faith as anything else, isn't it? Oh, God, I love you. I want to be used by you, but I'm not doing anything that you ask me to do. I'm doing what I want. Oh, and I'm not trying to cause you to go into the mission field. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about the way that we make decisions. Are we making decisions based on faith? Are we making them based on fear? Because fear causes me to walk in arrogance. Fear causes me to walk in my pride. They're all based on fear. Faith causes me to lay my life down before the cross of Jesus Christ, pick up my cross and follow him. Only faith causes me to do that. Fear causes me not to go to places. Fear causes me not to trust people. Fear causes me not to look for any. Brother, you don't understand. I don't want to get burnt again. How many decisions have people made all based on fear? Walking past people, they're not worth my time. I'm afraid of their rejection. I just want to encourage you this morning. You're going to make decisions based on one or the other. Let's let go of fear. You realize that the command, do not fear, is spoken more than any other command in the Word of God? Because he knew it would overcome people. He knew people would give into it, knowing that the flesh would succumb to fear, would try to protect itself, would try to survive. And how many people are walking around worrying more about themselves than anybody else around them? It's easy to find them. They're the ones that never mention the name of Jesus Christ outside their own houses. But do not fear is spoken more in the Word of God. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm all done with fear. It inhibits our life in Jesus Christ. Fear inhibits everything that God wants to do in us and through us. In us and through us. Can I tell you, every time that I've stepped out in faith, God has always met me there. Oh, it didn't always go the way I planned it, but he always walked me through it. And you know what? Every time I've stepped out in faith, God has always added to my life. Every single time. And I want to encourage you. We've said it many times before, but for those of you that are new around here, you'll only go as far as your last act of disobedience. You'll only go as far as your last act of disobedience. When the Holy Spirit says, listen, I need you to stop and pray for this one. Okay, I will tomorrow. Holy Spirit will just wait. Oh, but I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to go here and I want to do this. The Holy Spirit will say, hey, can you go back and pray for them? Okay, I will tomorrow. Holy Spirit said, okay. But Lord, I want to do this and I want to do that. Okay. Go pray for your neighbor. I'll wait. I'm very patient. I've been doing this a while. I'm not intimidated by man. I'm not worried about man. But I want you to grow to a place where you'll hear my voice and you'll obey me in the little things. Sometimes he says, hey, this morning as we were in worship, Holy Spirit said, remember, take everything out of your pocket, put in the offering. I said, yeah, all right, next week I'll wear a different pair of pants and I'll make sure that them pockets has got less in it. But you see, I'll never go any farther than the last act of disobedience. And so if I'm not gonna give the way the Spirit of God said, then I'm gonna walk by fear that my God doesn't supply. And so I obeyed today, and I'm praying that the rest of the day I'll do the same, because I know he's gonna ask me to do some other things, amen? My prayer is that he asks me to reach into your pocket and give. That's what I'm praying for, all right? I'll tell you, my pockets are empty. I got nothing left, all right? Turn over to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 1. It's a very familiar scripture. It said, so he got into the boat and crossed over. Jesus liked getting in the boat, didn't he? Every time he got in the boat, something good happened. Every time he stepped into the boat, somebody else's life was about to change. Can I tell you, his life was always the same because he was in fellowship with the Father. But every time Jesus got in the boat, somebody else's life was getting ready to change. Whether he was going on to over across the Sea of Galilee, or whether the men in the boat, their lives were about to be changed dramatically by the storms that were coming. Every time Jesus got in the boat, something changed. It says, and he came to his own city. And then behold, they brought them a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. And at once, some of the scribes within themselves or said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing the thought, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. And then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your home. And he arose and departed to his house. And then the multitude saw it, and they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. And Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose, and he followed him. Number one, he went to his own city, and that city was probably Capernaum, the house that he was sitting at. Nobody, it doesn't say in the scriptures, but probably Peter's house he had frequented there. And we know the same story of Mark chapter 2 and verse 4, where Mark speaks of the man being let down through the hole in the roof, right? We know that in Mark chapter 2. And there in the scriptures it says, then behold, and I love that word. I love that word, behold. Hey, guys, check out what's going on. Hey, get ready. And behold, look at this. They're bringing a man, a paralytic, before the Lord Jesus Christ. That man didn't have the faith that he needed, so he needed his friends to help him out. You're the faith that your friends need. I believe that every person in here, you're the faith that your friends need. You're the faith that your neighbors need. You're the faith that they're looking for. It says that they carried him in on a stretcher. He had no room. It took four of his friends to carry him in. These guys had faith. And I believe that everybody that's around you needs your faith. Tell your neighbors, hey, my neighbors need me. Your neighbors need you. Listen, you were placed there divinely by God where you live. You thought it was your decision to go buy that nice house. You thought it was your decision to go get in that apartment. Are we led by the Spirit or are we just led by the flesh? God's got you in a place for now. And that might change. That might change. But right now, I believe that this house is filled with faith for our neighbors. I believe that there's enough faith in this room to transform every neighbor that you have, all because of the Christ that lives on the inside of us. Amen? Because where the word of the king is, there's power. Tell your neighbor, say, I got that power. Tell your other neighbor, say, you've got that power. Yeah. We've got that power of faith to come alongside those who have none. Who have none. Who have none. We've got that kind of faith. He looks at a man who's a paralytic. Sorry, I'm cutting through a lot of this because of the time, but he looks at the paralytic and he says, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. What powerful words those are, amen? But do you think that's what the paralytic was looking for? If you asked everybody in that area, what does that guy need the most? What would they have said? He needs to get healed in the natural, amen? That's what they would say. See, their eyes are always on the flesh. Our eyes have to be on the Father. Their eyes are on the natural. Our eyes are on the word of God, which is a supernatural word of God. Our eyes and our ears have to be in tune to the Spirit of God, to the thing that God wants to do first. He wants to do some things first in our lives. And the greatest thing that he could ever do was forgive him of his sins. I'm sure that that guy sat there when Jesus said, hey, your sins are forgiven. Hey, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And there he lays. Great. It's amazing. My sins are forgiven. Still can't move. I mean, isn't that what you would do? That's what I would do. Jesus, hey, your sins are forgiven. Okay. Why did he say that? Because you see, the Jewish mindset, the scribes, they were complaining, right? But it says they said it within themselves because they were so courageous. They were so courageous, they said within themselves. Why? Because their mindset was back then that if somebody's a paralytic, there must be sin in his life. There's got to be sin that causes that, right? And Job's friend says it also. In Job chapter 4 and verse 7, Eliphaz, he says, remember now, he says to Job, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright destroyed? It's the same thought process that's been carried through. And as they're looking at this man, why is it so easy to walk past people? Well, it's probably because they've sinned. Why do some people never want to go into the jails and share the word of God? Well, they deserve what they've got. They belong there. They decided that they couldn't live within the confines of the rules of society, so they need to be removed from there. I'm not going there to tell them that they could be free on the inside. That's all right. They deserve it. And this is what they said. This was the mindset of people, that if somebody was an invalid, if somebody was a paralytic, if somebody had an issue, the blind Bartimaeuses, they would walk by and say, hey, be quiet. What did Bartimaeus say? Jesus! He didn't care what anybody else said. But the thought process was, hey, shut up, blind man. There's sin in your life, and that's why you're blind. Can we all agree there's sin in our lives? Because we were blind, because we didn't know the truth. But thank God when the truth comes, the blindness leaves, amen? Spiritual blindness is destroyed by our faith in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual blindness starts to be removed. And so Jesus said this first because he knows what the scribes are already gonna play with. He knows the games they're already gonna play. And he says, hey, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Yoo-hoo! Can I tell you, some Christians act that way. Yay! And they do nothing. Their sins are forgiven. How many people have come over the years? We're not talking about just us in our church, but this is each one of us have to think about this. How many have heard your sins are forgiven and did the same thing? Yoo-hoo! And that was it. They've stood. They've done nothing. They have no disciples. What did the scripture say? He said, look it, I need you to go and make lots of money. I need you to go and make and build lots of houses. I need you to go and travel to many places. This is what I need. You know, he said, I need you to go make disciples. And this is what happens when we fall in love with him and the love of God starts to permeate. When our sins are forgiven and we become free indeed, and then he says, I want you to let someone else know the freedom that you enjoy. And that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is bringing them to a place where they believe and agree that their sins can be washed away also, and they can be known as children of the Most High God. That's all it is. We've got this idea that, oh, I don't know enough. Do you know Jesus Christ? Then you know enough. You know the book of Romans? It's easy. It's really easy. We can get you the paperwork on that, and you can lead somebody in a sinner's prayer. You know enough to tell somebody what it feels like to be free from your sins. And if you're here this morning and you don't know that feeling of freedom, oh, I don't want you to leave, because it is liberating. It opens up your eyes, your heart. It changes every relationship that you have. Once the love of God permeates and fear is cast off, everything starts to change. Everything looks different. You look different. Listen, I saw some of you before you knew Jesus Christ. You look a lot better. You look amazing. You're not walking around like this. The darkness under your eyes is gone. The anger in your voice is history. The love in your hands has been magnified. All of a sudden now you're able to give. Greed has been broken. How wonderful is that? How wonderful to be set free from all the entanglements of this world, all by the blood of Jesus Christ through the power of the Word of God. This man needed some help from his friends. And then after, when Jesus said, seeing their faith, I want to ask you this morning, can anybody see your faith? Has anybody seen an act of faith on your part in the Lord Jesus Christ? When you speak of yourself, do you speak of only the wrong that you've done, or do you speak of the goodness of God in your life? You see, are we going to go into negative or are we going to go into positive? We talked about that in the beginning, right? Do you bring up how bad you were, how ridiculous your life was all the time? Or do you talk about how good God is and how he's changed you forever? This is what happens when love starts to overpower us, when we agree with what the Word of God says. All of a sudden, we start to talk about him instead of us. Ah, he's so good. But Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic man, your sins are forgiven. Seeing their faith. I believe that God is looking for someone to have the courage that their faith would be expressed in their lives so that other lives would be changed. So that he can say to them, you can say to them, because didn't he give us the authority? Didn't he say, listen, when people come up here and pray, when people have come up and prayed, and there's been many people that have come up here. I remember the day that Mike came up. And we prayed, and we got done praying. I said, Mike, your sins are forgiven. I didn't do it. His faith did it. But the faithful, fervent prayers of his wife for 8 years, she kept praying for her husband and would not give up. Apparently, he's worth having. And I agree with Sue. But that day that Pastor Mike came up, he came up here and he said, I can't do it anymore. I need Jesus Christ. And then we prayed, if you believe on your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Look at that. You can lead somebody to Christ now. See how easy it is? I said, Pastor Mike, I didn't say Pastor Mike back then. I said, Mike, do you believe this? He said, I believe this. I said, then your sins are forgiven. He saw faith in Sue. And then eventually his life was changed. He sat there and said, I'm doing this my way. And God just came in and said, no, he didn't. God just came in and said. But in our mind, how quickly and easy is it to believe that that's what God does? Ah, if you don't know me, I'm going to beat you until you come to know me. That's not what he did. It's not what Sue might have slapped him around a little bit, but he needed it back then. She got the spoon out. But it was the love of God that brought him to a place of repentance, because Sue was upstairs in the nursery. She was upstairs working with the kids. And then Sue, being an amazing woman of faith, when they went up and told her, she said, we'll see. I prayed for 8 years. Oh, God, set him free. Hey, Sue, he got set free. We'll see. Isn't that what we do though? Right? Are we going to act in faith or are we going to act in fear? Are we going to go by what happened yesterday? Are we going to go by what the Word of God says today? Look, we've all been there, Sue. We've all been in the same exact place, but what a beautiful picture it is of what God can do. Listen, you have the power to pray with people and remind them that their sins are forgiven. But you're going to have to say it to them. You know who's going to say that? People of faith. Other people are going to, well, listen, just pray this prayer. What's the prayer? Father, forgive me my sins and be the Lord of my life. Okay, good. You're good. You're saved. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know. Come to church. Don't bring him to church. You bring him to your house because your house is the house of God. Therefore, the presence of God dwells where you dwell. Yes. And then you open up your word and you say, come here, let me show you what the word of God says, what happened through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life when you agreed with what the word of God said. Come here, I want to show you. Not the pastor wants to show you. I want to show you. Jesus said, or it says in a word, and Jesus seeing their faith. If you'll take one person in and show them the scriptures, you're stepping out in faith. Jesus is going to see your faith and he's going to change their lives. Can we agree? No different than these men carrying the paralytic. Listen, if my life is so busy, I don't have time to bring people to my house, then I'm missing the very purpose of the life on this planet. I'm missing it all. Our houses are houses of prayer. They're houses of power. They're houses of praise. They're houses of the Spirit of God where he dwells and then wants to indwell another when you lay hands on them. You have the authority through the Word of God to lay hands on people and the Spirit of God come upon them. Amen? That's what the Scripture says. Scripture's quite clear. Yeah, I know, Pastor. I know it says that, but I've never experienced it. Right. Faith or fear? I've never done it before. Fear? God, you said faith. I've never experienced it. Fear? God? Your word says faith. One of the two is going to govern every decision you make this week. One or the other. Every single decision you're going to make. Do I go to the store and buy out all the hand sanitizer? Too late. Somebody already did. Can I tell you, talking to nurses, they said it's better to wash your hands with soap and water than it is to use sanitizer. All the nurses and doctors say the same thing. They all say the same thing. I asked, I said, then why is all the hand sanitizers outside the rooms in the hospital? They said, to get us from one room to the next quicker. That's it. Otherwise, if you spend 3 to 4 minutes washing your hands, going into the room and coming out of the room, how many minutes a day is that when you hit 30 rooms? You got an hour of washing your hands all day. But you're going to walk out of here either in faith or in fear. Either you believe that your God is with you and for you, and he's going to make a way, and you're going to change somebody else's life, or you're going to hide in your house and never tell anybody about Jesus Christ. You're going to walk onto the job and man's opinion is going to govern us and we're going to draw back or we're going to press in. But I believe that everybody you come in contact with, Jesus is going to see your faith and he's going to say to them, your sins are forgiven because you prayed with them. The power of the word of God is being manifested in the faith of his friends. His friends had so much faith that they went up and they did something never recorded before in the scriptures. They ripped the roof off the house. I'm not sure how Peter handled that, how much he paid a roofing company to come in and put tile on his roof. And these guys are ripping it apart. Everybody looked up and they said, behold, check this out. Some you don't see every day. But they had enough faith. They said, look, we got to get close to him. And if we don't get close to him, if we can just let him be touched by Jesus, his life will be changed forever. Let's rip the roof off of this place. Let's take it down. So that we can walk in our freedom, or he can walk in his freedom. Jesus said to him, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and he departed to his house. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and they glorified at God, or they glorified God. Some versions say they feared God. You know, the scribes were in fear or submission to the power of Jesus Christ when they saw it manifested. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, an internal thing that nobody can see. Amen? When Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, that was something that happened in a man's heart. That was something that happened inside of him. It changed. But then Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. The expression of the power of Jesus Christ, not only forgive sins, but also to rise him up from his deathbed or his paralytic bed. So what happened, the power on the inside to heal his sins or to remove his sins, and then the power externally, the scribe said, all right, we're going to keep our mouths shut because we've never seen it demonstrated like this before. We've never seen something like this before. Now we're speechless. And I want you to know that when you step out in faith, people are going to be speechless. When the expression of God's love is built through you, when the expression of his love is manifested through you, tell your neighbor, say, I will manifest the love of God. When we manifest the love of God, it changes people's lives. Amen? Look it. Can we stop manifesting the anger? Can we stop manifesting trying to win the argument? Can we stop manifesting trying to put other people down so it looks like you won the argument? Listen, if it brings division, if you don't have an opportunity to speak, now obviously the word of God is going to bring division at times. But when we do it in love, they're going to go home and think about it. We need them to go home and think about the word of God. I don't know about you, but when I think about the word of God, it changes me every single time. It renews my mind. It heals my heart. It opens my eyes, my ears. It gives me vision and dreams, and it transforms the way that I live. One moment with him. So Jesus shows us that he has power. He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to heal. And then it says that he has the power and had given such power to men. He had given such power to men. He had given such power. Tell your neighbor, say, he gave such power to you. Because you can pray with people and their sins can be forgiven. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? And you can even say to them, hey, get up, take your bed and go home. You have that authority in you. But some are saying, not me. Fear. Some by faith, oh, I'm going to see that in my lifetime. I'm going to watch that stuff happen before my lifetime. I'm going to watch my hands perform the works of the King of Glory. Because I'm going to walk humble before my God. It comes with humility. It comes with isolation at times. It comes with spending time in the Word of God and in prayer. Listen, if you struggle in prayer, you're probably going to struggle exercising the Word of God in your life. Because I don't know about you, but I get stronger the more time I spend in prayer. The less time I spend in prayer, the more selfish I become. So I know that I need to spend a lot of time in prayer. Amen? This morning, I want you to know the power of God is manifested in you. If you know Jesus Christ in here, it is not about waiting for something else cataclysmic to happen in your life. You have received all things. Tell your neighbor, say all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. You have received it already. It's not waiting. Come on up, son. It's not waiting any longer. It's not waiting any longer. We've tarried long enough. We need to step out now and just share the love of God. We need to spend our time in prayer. We need to speak to those that are hurting. We need to lift up those that are downtrodden. And you know who's going to do this? Remember we talked about Romans chapter 5. Pastor Romano spoke about it last week. I spoke about it a couple weeks before that. Because the gift is greater than the transgression. Amen? See, because either the gift is going to govern you or the transgression is going to govern you. The transgression governed us long enough, didn't it? Now the gift of grace is greater than the transgression. Amen? Therefore, in your redemption, you have received the authority and the power of God into your life. Therefore, now all things have been made possible through them that what? Believe. Tell your neighbors, I believe. Good, because if you believe, then the power of God is going to be made manifest through each and every one of us. And somebody's life is going to get changed by the power of Christ in the church. And through the body of Christ this week, someone's life is going to be changed by the love of God in you. Amen? We're all done with fear. We're walking by faith. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Therefore, faith, let faith arise and let the enemy be scattered. Isn't that what we sing? Let him be scattered. Don't allow it into your head. Oh, I'm lacking. You lack no good thing. That spirit of spiritual poverty has pervaded in the church long enough. Let's get it out of here, amen? Let's get rid of it. I lack nothing, and I'll act upon what I've received. Stand up this morning. In verse 9, Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and he followed him. Talk about power. Talk about power. He had the power to forgive sins. He had the power to heal. And then all he did is say to Matthew, "Hey, Matthew, come on, follow me." Matthew walked away from a very lucrative career in collecting taxes. Back then, there was taxes. If you had a cart, you paid a tax. You know them guys used to carry the produce? There's a tax on that. You know how they taxed it? How many wheels you had on your cart? Oh, yeah. It was going back then. If you fished, you paid a tax on the fish. Yeah, how many fish you caught? You had to pay tax on that. Here's Matthew collecting tax from everybody and then adding his surplus on top of whatever the government required. Yeah. And then what'd Jesus say? "Hey, Matthew, come and follow me." He didn't call him Levi. His name's Levi in the other books, right? Why'd he call him Matthew? What's Matthew mean? Gift of God. He looks at a tax collector and said, "Hey, gift of God, come on. Come follow me." "Oh, okay." Walked away from what man says is success. He walked away from what he possessed, and he walked into the kingdom of God to be used by him. Power. Jesus said, "Hey, Matthew, come follow me," and he did. I believe that there's some friends and family members out there that if you'll say, "Come follow me, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ," they will. I believe all you have to do is ask. So we're either going to walk by faith or by fear, amen? Let faith arise. 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 Let faith arise in the name of Jesus Christ in every heart here, that the kingdoms of our God have taken over the kingdoms of this world. You have taken over. Everywhere you walk in victory, amen? That's what was spoken prophetically this morning, right? You've already got the victory by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's love someone this week and let them know about the King of Glory. Let's pray.